The Lord has been visiting his sons and daughters powerfully over the last few months. Since Rosh Hashanah, since January 1st, he's leading us up to a crossing over at Passover. On February 8th, we had the Reform Rochester gathering here. We hosted it this past month, 2 weeks ago. And I want you to listen to one of the prophetic exchanges that Holy Spirit had with us. Whether you were there or not, he spoke it over us. Do you see yourself as a son and a daughter? Do you see yourself the way Father sees you? Because he sees you as a valiant warrior. You are his son. You are his daughter. You are equipped with the armament of the throne room. Let it sink deep. Doubt and unbelief no longer have place in your character. When Jesus said, "It is finished," that means your sonship, your daughtership is complete, and all he is doing is pouring his glory into you so you can release that as a weapon of warfare and as an agent of harvest. You are complete. Expect to hear, "This is my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." This is greater than the "well done" you will hear, because you will have identified yourself as my child in the earth. I will identify you as my child in the heavens. Do you know how powerful it is to go someplace, whether it's around the corner to the market or to school or to work or to Guatemala or Uganda or any place else, and know that all authority of heaven from the Father, he's placed in you. And that he wants to use you as his ambassador. How you see yourself either will facilitate or hinder you attaining your destiny. Do you see yourself as a child of the King of Kings? Do you see yourself as one who can do all things through Christ, who is strengthened in you? Doubt and unbelief have no place. God spoke it. God wrote it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It is. I don't fit in the equation. There is no I in God. There's no I in son. There is no I in daughter. Oops. And I don't spell that well. In January, we spoke about breaking every chain by identifying the demonic fruit that comes through the curse of fatherlessness. Tonight we're going to look at how the enemy has tried to steal, kill, and destroy in the lives of the sons and daughters of God. He's been doing that by keeping you from the fullness of Father's plan, promise, and provision for your life. How many of you are walking in the abundant life? Then you ought to come up here and preach, because I'm not. Am I overcoming in every situation and circumstance? I still have this uncleanness that comes out of my mouth. That means there's still some issues in my heart. We should be miracle workers. Doubt and unbelief is such a little whisper. don't do that now. You're at work. Do you think God cares that you're at work? When he brings that person across your path, it says, oh, I sure wish I was healed. I saw miracles take place in my cubicle and in my office and on the shop floor at Kodak. God wouldn't do that. He wants to do that through you because you're his son and you're his daughter. In the past, we've taught extensively on the seven mountains which mold culture. Whether you are in business, education, government, arts and entertainment, media, religion, or the family mountains, or any combination, I can guarantee you that you are in at least three of those mountains, even if you're retired. If you are in any one of them, you are part of father and sons. Oh, God has a business. It's daddy and kids. That's the name of his business, Papa's Place. It's the business of the kingdom of heaven on the earth. And once you said yes to Jesus, you didn't realize that you took a new career. You're working for Father. Each of the mountains of culture has its own set of rules, its own language, and its own measures of success. They're all different, except they all have the same measure of success. It's money, except for the church, and that's influence. But they all have their own set of rules, and that's why the church can't pray from the church and make changes in the government. Yes, we can influence, but we need to also infiltrate. Wow, what a dirty word. In the 1960s, when the Jesus movement started in the late 60s and in the 70s, we told my generation, you can't serve God and go to work or go to government or teach at university. So we abandoned culture. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, says, in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then and do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. So let's look and see how the enemy's tried to steal the glory of God, not only from your life, but from every aspect of culture. Let's look and see how he tries to keep us under a yoke of slavery to hinder us from manifesting the fatherhood of God as his sons and daughters in the places he sends us every day. Yeah, it's great being sent to Guatemala. It's great being sent overseas. But he sends us every day. That's your mission field. So what we're going to look at is sonship in the seven mountains of culture. And this is a partial list of things that we have uncovered over the past 40 years in places that I've worked around the United States and some around the world. Many of these helped me excel in my career as a chemist and an international manager. The Bible has the answer for everything. It doesn't matter what the title of your job is. The enemy is seeking to counterfeit the liberty of sonship to keep us falling short and in bondage as slaves. So we're going to look at characteristics of slaves and characteristics of sons. Slaves obey orders which will stifle your creativity. Do you know that God put his creative spirit in you? He gave you, according to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, he gave you the ability to create or make wealth so that he can establish or demonstrate his covenant with you. But a slave will only go far enough to get by. A son or a daughter If I use son, don't get offended. If I use daughter, don't get offended. I mean one and the same. You're a child of God. They have the ability to solve problems. That's why I succeeded. You know what? We shouldn't be afraid of problems. Chuck Swindoll once said that problems are just opportunities that are cleverly disguised. Most of us step back when we see a problem. Slaves produce more slaves. Do you ever sit in the break room at work and listen to the slaves talk?
Well, you don't want to do that. You do that, and the boss is going to get upset.
Sons produce sons that are bigger than themselves. In other words, they want to see the next generation go beyond where they are. They're not afraid to promote their sons and daughters. That's what Father's doing with us. That's what he did with us tonight. He took us, as we started in Psalm 40, from that miry pit, and he put us on a solid rock. Slaves focus on the product. Well, I'm making widgets today, and that widget's just right, and if I nurse it long enough, I can make it to lunchtime. And then I can make one more widget after lunch before I go home. Sons focus on the process. They're more interested in how does it work so that it can become more productive. Oh, by the way, that was the theme of the garden. There was supposed to be exponential increase from generation to generation to generation. I've done some calculations. There haven't even been 100 generations on the earth since Adam and Eve, if you use 40 years as the length of a generation. People now want to use 20. So even if you use that, it's like 160. But God said he's going to be faithful and love even to the thousandth generation. But he wants to have exponential increase in his blessing upon each generation. But sin brought exponential curses for every generation that doesn't focus on Father and his process. See, if you improve the process, now you can make 20 widgets a day. The company's more profitable. Guess what? That's what life is all about, folks. That's the measure of success in the business mountain. That's the measure of success in the government mountain. That's the measure of success in art and entertainment and media. That's the measure of success in the family mountain. Do you know that Planned Parenthood is in the family mountain? Ooh. And as we started tonight, we heard about the abortion clinic that closed in Rochester because they didn't have enough business. They couldn't make profit. Sons celebrate their own success. Well, I did such a good job. I scored 4 touchdowns today. Team lost 47-28, but I scored 4 touchdowns. They're all about me. Children of God celebrate the success of others. Rejoice when others rejoice. Isn't that what the Bible says? By the way, I taught all of these principles in government and in business and in education. I don't have to teach chapter and verse. The principle is the truth that sets captives free. It turned companies around. Celebrate the success of others. Slaves see costs. Well, that's going to cost way too much if I do that. Focusing on costs, and you'll see in a minute, is another way of saying risk avoidance. If I spend a little too much on this, the boss isn't going to be happy. That is a poverty mindset. We've spoken on the poverty mindset. Slaves have a poverty mindset. I can never get ahead, so why should I help someone else get ahead? Remember, this is the year of the Good Samaritan. Holy Spirit is watching you and me to see when he brings someone across our path this year. Will we be the priest, the Levite, or the Good Samaritan? Slaves are the priest and the Levite. They have a poverty mindset. Sons and daughters see value. If I spend a little bit more on this, if Casey puts a little orange peel on that bread that she made yesterday, it really highlights the flavor of the cranberries. Oh, wait a minute. She's a daughter. She got creative. She put a little bit something more in and made something much better. Do you see how that works? See, that's a kingdom mindset. We can never outdo Papa. Remember, this is daddy and sons, father and sons. That's his business. We're supposed to learn from him. Slaves always look for at the right way to do a job. Well, this is the way they taught me. Did you ever hear the story about the young girl from Tennessee? They were getting ready to cook the Christmas roast. Mom had a huge standing rib roast, and she just took the meat cleaver and cut off 6 inches of the roast and set it aside. And the little girl said, Mama, why did you just chop off 6 inches of the roast? She said, that's the way it's always done. Well, why is that the way it's always done? That's the way my mama taught me. Ask her at dinner that night, Mama, how come Mama always cuts off 6 inches of the roast and sets it aside? Grandma said, because the pan's only this big. See, slaves are always going to focus on the right way to do it and not look for a better way to do it. I will guarantee every one of you that you have found the better way. His name is Jesus. And he wants to take control of your brain, not just your heart and your mind. We sang about our hearts and minds tonight. They're right here. But he wants to give you ideas in your computer up here too. See, when you look at things only doing it the right way, you're moving out of fear. And that's how slaves move. The kingdom of darkness is predicated and driven by fear. That's how the enemy works. Sons look for a better way to do a job. Believe me, that's how, even when I was doing operations work, even when I was working on a farm growing up, I would always look for a better way to do things. Surely there's got to be a better way to bale and stack hay when it's 90 degrees and 95% humidity than put a little scrawny 85-pound 14-year-old on the top of a hay wagon to throw those bales and just be drenched with hay dust. You see the machines they got now? They didn't have them on the farm I grew up on. Looking for a better way to do a job. That means you have to move in the boldness of Christ and not cower in fear. That son attitude is founded in love. The kingdom of God is founded in love. I encouraged my employees to give me written ways of doing something better, and I recognized and reinforced when they worked. In other words, if Bob comes up with a new way and he's the only one that's doing it, that's no good. But if everybody on every crew can do it the way Bob does it, not only does Bob get recognized, but everybody now is able to do a better job. That's the difference between a slave fear mindset and a kingdom love mindset. And too many of us are held captive by the systems of the world. If you don't present to your supervisors, your bosses, your authorities the better idea, guess what? it doesn't go anywhere. And if they reject it, that's not up to you. If you have an appeal process, take it to the next level. And by the way, I was like third or fourth level. And so sometimes people would knock on my door and say, would you consider this? And I said, have you talked to your boss, your supervisor, your group leader? No. I said, start there. See, that's Matthew chapter 18. Don't let them skip around the process of hierarchy. Slaves want to skip. Slaves expect more from others than from themselves. Oh, I'm going to let Rick do it. Rick can do that. Rick can do this. Rick can do that. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to watch Rick. You know, it's hard work supervising someone. Yes, I did say what I meant. If a supervisor can't teach, then they're not really a supervisor. Because they have to ensure that everyone knows what Rick knows and gets recognized and reinforced for it. See, this is a pride issue, and that's what caused the enemy to fall. Well, I'm going to be above God. Slaves have a pride mentality even while they're in chains. Sons raise the bar personally. I had summer jobs while I was in college. They paid nicely. They were very boring. And so I made competitions out of them. Well, how many of these boxes should I be doing? Well, if you do 15 a day, you're doing a lot. 15 a day? Okay. That became my goal. Once I got 15 down, I went for 20. Well, how many of these big ones? No one's ever done more than 50 a day. 150. I raised the bar from mediocrity to excellence on myself. And I can't expect anyone that works with me to do that unless I raise the bar on myself. See, that's the attitude of a son. It's called humility. If I will humble myself and let the Lord show me how to do something, then I can humble myself and show others how to do that thing. If I've shown three people on my crew how to do it, and this probably never happens in your workplace, but we would get workbooks. These were the orders of what needed to be done. And the supervisor, before the crew would come in, would go through and pick all of the easy ones and leave the hard ones for the day crew. Because all the plans for tomorrow came out at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And so they would do all the easy work. And every one of them did it when their shifts rotated. And the day shift was always stuck with all the tedious work. See, if everybody shows how to do a better job, now you're advancing. You're advancing the kingdom on earth. Slaves see the cost of failure. Well, I don't want to do that. If I do that, I'm blown out of the water. Sons see the benefit of failure. I've learned so much from the mistakes I've made in life. Man. How many of you would read a book, How I Overcame My Greatest Failures? I was doing some chemistry jobs down in Tennessee, and the research people had this new pharmaceutical item that had to be scaled up and made in manufacturing, and I was the manufacturing chemist at the time, and they said, well, let's just go for it all at once. And I said, great, I love that. So I scaled it up, put the instructions out, and the next morning research caught up and they got cold feet, and they said, no, let's cut it back to one-third. And so I had to go in and redo all the work. cut everything back to one third and then run it. And it just was running great. And then when I ran reactions, the reactors were taller than this room. And we filtered them on, if you ever made coffee by pouring stuff through a filter, we filtered them on filters that were as big as these two rows of chairs. Small scale. And all of a sudden there was no product on the filters. And the research people were pulling their hair out. I didn't have to. They couldn't figure it out. They couldn't find the mistake. They couldn't find out what was going on. It took like 36 hours. They couldn't find anything. I walked into my boss's office the next day and I said, Perry. Actually, I went to his boss because Perry wasn't there. I said, Charlie, I found the mistake. He said, what was it? I said, I forgot to scale back the ice. And $50,000 of product went into the recovery sewer. I lost $50,000, but I found my mistake. And I explained it to him. Oh, they made a lot of money making that stuff after that. And his words to me were, if you never try anything, you're never going to succeed. I learned from my failure not to hold your failures against you. Oops. Slaves take energy from you. Sure wish Lisa would hurry up and get that job done. Come on, Lisa. Let me know if you need any help. I'm right here. I'm cheering you on. They always expect you to put more in. Sons are life-giving even when they're in need. Do you think the Good Samaritan had time to stop? Care for that person and then pick them up and carry them to the hotel and make arrangements to take care of the person until he could return? Of course, they didn't have cars that could go 100 miles an hour. And you could just blow right by the man by the wayside. A son or a daughter always hears the voice of the Spirit and will stop and do what Holy Spirit wants them to do in the moment. Even if it means being inconvenienced. I used to drive this big pick-em-up truck. And I used to carry chains and all kinds of tools to change tires. I used to pull people out of ditches before they got into this tort law. They're going to sue everybody for scratching your car. Doesn't matter that you kept them from going over the side of the mountain. But I would stop no matter where we were going and I would just help people. Maybe that was the hillbilly in me. Different pace of life. Slaves are building an empire. I always am squirreling something away to have a little bit more so that I've got something. That's socialism. That's what socialism is. Socialism is a slave mentality. Keep the people in bondage. Every place where socialism has been attempted, starting in Argentina in the early 1900s, it has failed miserably. It's taken over 100 years for Argentina to get back close to even where they were wealth-wise when they started socialism. When I was in Colombia and Peru last year, they tried to get me to go into Venezuela. And I said, okay. And they said they won't let you in because they were having problems. They didn't want me reporting what the live videos were showing that people were coming out and giving us. They were filming nothing. Can you imagine walking into Wegmans on Ridge Road and there being nothing in there? That's what socialism does. That's a slave mentality. sons build community, which is family. That was the biggest revelation and strategy Holy Spirit gave us at the Reform Rochester meeting 2 weeks ago, is that we are a family in this region. It's not Shepherd's Heart versus the body of Christ. It's not First Church on the last corner versus the body of Christ. It's all of us together as sons and daughters of God working to bring in the harvest for our Father's glory. After we finish that, I love redeeming old songs. Keith came up to me and said, I was about to redeem an old song when we stopped. It's We Are Family. We are family. Some of you are too young to remember that one. Slaves are jealous of other people's success. I don't care who you are, Tom Brady is a good quarterback. I don't particularly care for the man, but he's a good quarterback. I can celebrate his success. I'll celebrate it more when he confesses that Jesus Christ is his Lord. Sons have a generational worldview. They want to celebrate the success of others so that now there is more than just one of us trying to gather the harvest. Do you know it's a lot easier to cut a field of hay, bale a field of hay, and stack a field of hay if you're not doing it by yourself? Even when you got the modern equipment, it's a lot easier when there's more than one of you. Slaves care for themselves. Sons understand social responsibility. Should have moved all your mic stands. We have a responsibility for our brothers and our sisters. Counter to popular opinion, we are our brother's keeper. That is a biblical perspective. Slaves want to receive from others. Gimme, 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 gimme. Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Sons want to know how others arrived. Jim, how did you get to this place? How did you develop that so that you got to where you are? How can I walk in that? Oh, wait a minute. Jesus was a role model for us. It is biblical to try and do what the leader does. And by the way, before Jesus left, he breathed on the disciples and said, here's the Holy Spirit that helped me. You dudes go do the same stuff. And not just you only, remember that, but all of the generations afterwards. See, we want to know how others got there so that we can get there and others can get there. Slaves want to see immediate gain. That's part of their poverty mindset. I've got to have it, and I've got to have it now. How many of you grew up in a time when there were no microwaves? The front rows. Oh, come on, you guys. You had microwaves. You're just pulling my leg. You know how hard it was to make popcorn? Not too much oil, not too little oil. What's that smell? He's making popcorn again. We've fallen into the slave mentality of I've got to have it and I've got to have it now. The biblical picture is store up, not for yourself, but for the generation after the generation after you. The proverb says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. We all like that half of the verse. But the second half says, and a righteous person lays up an inheritance for their children's children. A little bit at a time, over time, becomes a lot. That's greed. Sons of God sow into the future. That's the proverb I just told you about. They're laying up for future generations, for hard times, for difficult times. That's the father's heart. What did Joseph tell Pharaoh? Go hoard all the grain? No, he said, we'll take 20%, we'll store it up, and then when the hard times come, you're going to look like a hero by having provided for 7 years of hard times. See, when we have Father's mindset, he can use us to provide for the culture. Slaves are disloyal when they succeed. I'm good. I don't need to show up at work on time anymore. After all, I made him $1 million last year. Sons initiate sharing their success. I had great success. I created opportunities for people who could not get to where they were supposed to be career-wise because our success was so good. We created new schedules so that we didn't have to hire people, so that the people who needed to be someplace else, working someplace else, could get paid until there was a budget to pay for them. And then I could hire somebody. And our productivity increased so much, we looked good. Will we share our success? Will we help others get successful? By the way, that young man that I helped became an engineer that eventually worked on the Hubble telescope and other space optics projects. He was doing a menial job in my department. Slaves or managers? Do you know who Silas Marner was? The older folks do. It's a piece of classic literature. Just counting his money, stacking it up. See, this is when I would teach leaders, I would tell them that managers are cattle drivers. Do you ever watch the old movies? Keep them doggies rolling. Get them to market. It didn't matter if half the herd died on the way. They just raised the price. And managers are like that. We've got this objective because managers have a slave mentality. But sons are leaders. They're shepherds. They care whether or not everyone is going to make it to the market. Do you remember when Jacob came back to Esau? And he said, well, let's just drive your herds on ahead. And he said, no, the little ones won't make it if we do. The difference between a manager and a leader, a cattle driver and a shepherd, a son and a slave. Slaves seek the supernatural for themselves. Do you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles? Well, if you just want to see it for yourself, you're probably not going to see too many because your eyes are going to be closed when they're happening right in front of you. Say, what? That's why I jokingly tell people when we're teaching them about healing, Jesus said, watch and pray. Too many of us pray with our eyes closed, and when miracles happen, we miss the miracle because our eyes are closed. But this one's... Slaves are looking for the miracle for themselves. Sons are using the supernatural for others. God has put gifts in you, and yes, when you give them away, guess what? His presence flowing through you also increases your ability to walk in his provision and his presence. But the gift is not for us. It's to let others know about Jesus. Slaves fear authority. Sons respect authority. If you haven't read Romans chapter 13 in a while, I suggest you do it. It says to give honor to whom honor is due. And it gives some examples. We need to honor the President of the United States. We need to honor the governor of New York State, whether we agree with what's there or not. We need to honor the county executive and the mayor and your town supervisors with our words, asking the Lord to bless them. How do I ask the Lord to bless them? I ask him to bless them with the fullness of the lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives, because I can't think of a better blessing. They could blow $250 million instantly. Just go look at the last couple of lotto winners. Because most lotto winners have a slave mentality. They lose everything. But will you bless those and respect those that are in authority? Slaves consider the consequences. Well, if I do that, I'm going to be late for this and I won't be able to do that. And if I do that, I'm taking too much of a risk. Sons see opportunities. Maybe that's why I like it so much, because I'm a scientist. Well, what happens if I just tweak this a little bit? Oh, by the way, ladies, if you bake, you're a chemist. Well, what if I tweak the flour just a little? What if I hold back a little bit of the milk? You see opportunities. Slaves see ways to get around limitation of rules. When I worked at Tennessee Eastman, there was an older gentleman in our research group. His name was Ed. He had a master's degree, and therefore he couldn't make some of the higher levels in the research area. He was an excellent researcher. And then one day someone started circulating this list of rules to get promoted. And it started out with stuff that was believable, like you wear your lab coat correctly. And it had all these things. And then it took him to the last one to realize it was a joke. But it started getting pretty hilarious partway. But the last one that he finally caught on, it was a joke, and he was getting red as he's reading these things. Is you're eligible for promotion when you have two stars arranged in a circle? It's impossible. Which then he realized someone was pulling his leg. But we have rules, and we have to find ways to get. And so while he's going through this list, he's saying, well, I did this, and I did this, and I did that. Sons see ways to leverage the rules for profit. What if we took that raw material and made it just a little bit pure? What if we did this and ran it just a little bit longer? What if we changed the work schedules so that everyone worked 40 hours a week, but every other week they had a long weekend? Can't do that. Oh, I was told that too many times. So I just started going through all the HR regulations, and if it was someplace in the Kodak world, it became part of our world. We created a schedule that had people working 12-hour shifts, getting paid for 40 hours a week on average over the course of a month, and having 2 weeks a month off. All perfectly legal under state law. Never been done. Guess what? They were pretty happy. A lot of them started working overtime on their time off to pay off their debt. See ways to leverage the rules to create profit. Slaves are underachievers. You were created for excellence. You were created to be productive and to go beyond. See, slaves are underachievers because they're afraid of taking a risk. I was given whole bunches of projects that nobody else wanted. And I had this It was a little bit smaller than this. I had this little black book sitting on my desk. And when they would give me projects nobody else wanted, I would just start reading the Proverbs, asking the Lord to show me wisdom. We made one product that Kodak had invented, but had become the seventh in quality in the world. And by the end of the year, we were first again. Just because there was something in the Bible that talked about breath. And I knew how to think outside the box and take a risk. Because you are creative. He's given you a creative and an inventive mind. You don't have a spirit of fear and timidity, right? You have a love and a sound mind. That means you can capture opportunities that slaves will not see. Slaves waste capital. Sons are frugal with capital. They look for ways to get and make more and store up for the future. I think I got some repeats there. Slaves run from pain. I don't hold to the sports adage, no pain, no gain. Sounds nice. Every time I had pain, it hurt. Sons embrace productive pain strategically. I know some of you work out. That's productive pain. You are developing your muscles to be able to do something that wasn't done. I have a friend whose son currently right now is the fastest 5,000 meter runner in the country in college. And some of his workouts just sound extremely painful. But he's building himself to be able to win the race and get the prize. Slaves talk about the cost of the pain. And the pain, the cost and the pain. Oh, it cost me so much, and oh, man, I broke two ribs doing it. Sons talk about the payoff and the pleasure. Listen carefully to what people talk about. You'll know whether they're sons or whether they're slaves. If they're talking about the cost and the pain and all of the hard time it took to get there versus the goal that's set before them versus what is possible. Sons look for possibilities. What is possible when you reach that next goal? Slaves want to be like now. That's what peer pressure is all about. If you are under peer pressure, you have a partial slave mentality. The Lord can set you free from that. Do you know what it's like to say, I'm not going to say no, no matter what? If you are willing to say yes to Jesus, he will give you the opportunity to stand up and say, no, that's not for me. Even if it's not a popular place. I've had to do that many times. See, if I want to be like now, it's really an indicator that I have low self-esteem. I don't know who I am, and slaves don't know who they are. But remember, a month ago we said, first and foremost, you are a son or a daughter of the Most High. Before you're anything else, that's who you are eternally. Sons will let history be their judge. If you knew me 45 years ago, you probably wouldn't want to be around me. If you knew me 50 years ago, you were at the start of a slippery slope in my life. History will tell. I want to live for Jesus. Well, I'll do it later. That's a slave's attitude, procrastinate. Why should I do it now when it will be great next weekend? Sons have a keen sense of timing. Why put off tomorrow something you could do yesterday? Slaves are always looking for a way to control. Control the circumstance, control people, control situations, control whatever they can. Sons are always looking for a way to empower. That is what I tried to do with all of the people that were in my workforce, and it kept getting wider and longer, and they had me travel around the world to teach managers how to empower people. You know, in order to do that, I have to give up control. Do you know what a control freak is? It's a slave. Slaves distrust. They can't trust anyone. Sons know who to trust because they understand relationship. Do you see the difference? See, you have a relationship with the King of Glory. You are his son. And through experience and through relationship, sometimes it's friction, iron sharpening iron, you begin to learn how to move in sonship. Slaves attract slaves. They only know like attracts like. They want to be surrounded by people who have the same woes and worries. Sons attract sons. They want to be around people who know how to think creatively, how to rejoice, how to be glad, how to share praise and testimony. You are Father's ambassador, no matter where he sends you. You can overcome because Jesus overcame for you. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's what sons do. That's what daughters do. They go. True sons and daughters will carry Jesus with them everywhere they go. I love listening to Lisa's testimonies. I love listening to Mason's testimonies. I love listening to testimonies of people who just say, I was minding my own business and the Lord told me to pull in here and I pulled in there and he said, go stand there, and I stood there and all of a sudden this person come over and the Lord said, that's the one. Are you willing to carry Jesus so that someone might find life in the Son? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you created us not to be slaves, but to be sons in your kingdom business, to be sons and daughters who will carry you, your word, your spirit, and your glory everywhere you send us. And Father, I send my brothers and sisters to the places you have given them. I thank you for the new opportunities you are opening up for them to take you into new places, into places they haven't even begun to imagine you can take them. Lord, we send them to prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers because they are your son or your daughter. Lord, I send them to carry the good news of your kingdom everywhere they go. Lord, that even this week, even starting tomorrow in the midst of the winds, you will give them testimony after testimony and opportunity to be your son or your daughter. Lord, I ask you to fill them afresh every time they ask you. Baptize them in your Holy Spirit and fire so that they carry all of your goodness, all of the fruit of your presence, and all of the authority of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.